Getting Lost and Found in Hoyavac by Elizabeth A. Miller. She had made many trips back to Hoyavac over the 17 years since that first trip for New Year in 1996. If she didn't have family there, she wouldn't go at all. Not exactly family. Adopted family. Someone else's family. Someone else with whom she no longer had a relationship. With whom she had not had a relationship for a very long time. But Hombre Ortega had given her, in his own way, what she had said she wanted from him, a family. Betsy would have preferred to spend all of her vacation time in Antigua Guatemala, a beautiful colonial city left partially in ruins, quiet yet vibrant, that attracts visitors from all over the world. Near Antigua, she had invested in her own small piece of Guatemala, thinking ahead to her retirement. She would have preferred to stay there, and not to travel up the mountains to the town where there were only a few hours of quiet for sleep from when the dogs stopped barking until the roosters started crowing. Over the years, Hoyavac had changed a lot. On each visit, there were visible improvements. Travel time had been cut in half from town to Guatemala City, and cable TV, cell phones, and the internet now linked the town to the whole world. On her first trip to the town, there were a total of 3 telephones in all of Hoyavac. The town had become a commercial center, the residents proudly saying that it was more important than the district capital of Quiché in serving the surrounding area. It was crowded with people and vehicles, with motorbikes, buses, trucks, and tuk-tuks. There were even traffic lights on the corners of the plaza. In the plaza, there were long lines of people waiting to pay their electric and water bills at the town offices. Opposite the plaza, which was overflowing with women in traditional traje on market day, there was now a large store, a despensa familiar, a Walmart-owned chain of local mini Walmarts, which promised low prices every day for packaged goods and foods that had not previously been available in the town at any price. Clean and neatly dressed young people, using scanners and computerized cash registers, worked in the store for a regular paycheck. Betsy wished that she could have taken a photo of a young Mayan girl dressed in traje, with shiny black high-heel sandals, a backpack on her back, talking on a cell phone, looking at the bras. Hoyavac had changed a lot. It wasn't very long ago that schools in the villages only went through 6th grade, and in town through 9th. Many children didn't make it past 4th grade, just enough to learn to read and do arithmetic before they had to leave to go to work. Now, Hoyavac had an extension of the public university, private academies, and religious schools of various denominations. Ladino families in town used to have very young Mayan girls as servants to do the errands, cleaning and laundry, and to make the tortillas by hand. Their parents sent them out to work just so they would have something to eat that day. Now, the talk among Ladinos was that there were no girls to work because they were all in school. That was a nice problem to have. The inflow of investment from the emigrants back to Hoyavac and the basic improvements in infrastructure made after the war by the government and companies like Sprint combined had done some remarkable things. The Peace Corps had come back to town, but the best aid that the U.S. had offered was allowing illegal immigration. and not deporting the people who had settled down to work, supported their families back home, and rebuilt their town themselves. Betsy got lost walking back from the edge of town to the street where the family lived, which even on her last trip had been a dirt road outside of the commercial area. Now, it was a paved cross street with shops on the corner of the main street. Everyone laughed when she told them how she had walked right past the turn and kept on going almost to the center of town before she turned back. Then she had turned onto a dirt street one block before theirs and had to stop and ask a woman if she knew where the Ortega family lived, which she did. She had made many trips to town to see Primo and his mother, Cunada, the sister of Hombre Ortega, who had become her good friend. Cunada had been in Providence caring for Primo, who had a stroke at the age of 20 in 1998. He had survived, because he had been in Providence at the time, but with limited speech, a limp, and no use of his right hand. Betsy had been in Hoyabac for Primo's wedding, New Year 2008. They had scheduled the wedding as a surprise for her after they knew the dates when she would be there. But on that trip, she arrived to find Cunada very ill, in a wheelchair and fighting for every breath. So there was great sadness with the joy. Cunada died knowing that Primo had a wife and another mother who would care for him. In 2013, Betsy met Primo's daughter, her new granddaughter, for the first time. The trip for New Year 2013 was different from all the previous trips. This time, Betsy was with Poppy, Nana, who was 9, and Mama. Poppy was going home to Hoyabac for the first time in almost 15 years. He was not going home by choice, even if he was extremely happy to see the family. Poppy did not know his own town anymore, his own country, not even as Betsy did, because he had not been there to see it change. Poppy was going home scared. At 35, Poppy's life had to be interrupted in Providence so that it might be able to continue. Poppy had to go back to Guatemala to wait for his pardon to be granted and his visa to be issued by the U.S. Embassy, until the day of the final interview when the U.S. consul said yes and handed him his visa. There was no guarantee that Poppy would not be home in Hoyabac permanently. With the visa, he could turn around and go home the other way, entering the U.S. as a permanent resident. Free of the fear that comes with being undocumented, free to travel between both homes, free to work at his highest ability and to pursue the best opportunities, he would build a better life for himself and his family in Providence, and he would do the same for his family in Hoyabac.